The Sri Ramana Gita of B.V. Narasimha Swami, Part 5, continued from the January-February issue. While B.V. Narasimha Swami was residing in Sri Ramanashramam, around the year 1930, he took up the project of recasting Ganapati Muni's Sri Ramana Gita in its original conversational form. For a full introduction to this recently discovered manuscript, see the July-August 2009 Maharishi newsletter. In the present issue, we reproduce Chapter 6 along with its footnotes titled What is Manonasa? Mind Destruction. In Sri Ramana Gita, published by Sri Ramanashramam, the same chapter is titled Mind Control, corresponding to Ganapati Muni's Sanskrit title Mano Nigropayaha. In BBN's version of this chapter, the contents of verse 5 are mentioned, but are not so clearly defined as in Sri Ramana Gita. This verse, containing the simplest of breath control methods taught by the Maharishi, is universally applicable and appealing. The verse in Sri Ramana Gita is, control of breath means merely watching with the mind the flow of breath. Through such constant watching, Kumbhaka does come about. Chapter 6. What is Manonasa? Mind Destruction. 21-8-1927. Kavya Kanta. Bhagavan has said that the re-entry of the mind into the heart as effected by the jnani and known as the manonasa of samadhi is radically different from the disappearance of mind in disease, etc. Footnote 1. In the ashram, the disciples address Ramana Maharishi as Bhagavan and refer to him alone as Bhagavan. The disciples desire to know something more of Manonasa and Manolaya and how they ought to be effected. Maharishi then continued, men find it hard to control their minds. That is the often heard complaint. Do you see the reason? Day in, day out, almost every hour and every minute, they spend their time gratifying their numerous desires, and they are and have been wholly engrossed in their attachment to external objects, that is, the non-self. Hence, this outgoing tendency is deeply rooted and binds them like an iron chain. This strong vasana, instinct or tendency has to be overcome before they can obtain the placidity, the equilibrium on which their realization has to be based. So, let them begin at once, that is, as early as possible, to reverse their conduct and to gain incessant mind control. Let them try to ride the mind and drive it to their goal, instead of allowing it to run away with them in any and every direction, driven by desires. They may start their endeavor with various helps. The first help for mind control that is usually suggested to an aspirant is pranayama, breath control or breath regulation. The mind, like a monkey, is usually fickle, restless, fretful, and unsteady. As you tie up and restrain the monkey or a bull with a rope, so you may still the mind by regulating and holding the breath. When the breath is so restrained, the mind gets calm and its activities in the shape of thoughts cease. When there is no thought, the jiva's energy runs back into the source whence all its energies issue, that is, into the center, the heart. Next, proceeding to consider the methods of securing the retention of breath kumbhaka, we note these various methods suggested or employed. The first and simplest course, the Rajamarga, is simply to will the retention of the breath and rivet the attention on it. The breath then stops at once. At first, this riveting of attention and willing may involve strain and fatigue, but this must be overcome by incessant practice till the willing and attending become habitual. Then the mind is quite relaxed when it thinks of Kumbhaka, and you are at once holding the breath, and the mind lies narcotized and stilled like a charmed serpent. There are perhaps some who find that the above course does not suit them. Let them try, if they choose, another method, that of Hatha Yoga, which also achieves Kumbhaka, though with enormous strain and struggle. Ashtanga Yoga, that is, Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, and Samadhi, is common to all the methods. The chief characteristics of Hatha Yoga are its adoption of bandhanas, mudras, and shakarams. Details as to the practice of Hatha Yoga are found in special treatises devoted to it, such as Hatha Yoga Pradipika. In both Raja Yoga and Hatha Yoga, you find Rechaka, Puraka, and Kumbhaka. By Rechaka, you expel the used up air from the lungs through the one nostril into the external air. Then you proceed to Puraka, that is, to fill the lungs by drawing a deep breath of pure air from outside through the other nostril, and then follows the Kumbhaka, the important process of holding within the pure air in your chest for a gradually increasing period. If the period of Rechaka is taken as one unit, usually the period of Puraka is an equal unit, and that of Kumbhaka is 4 units. This is said to promote the purity of the nadis, that is, the subtle nerves. These and the brain are perhaps rendered more efficient for samadhi, that is, for concentration or meditation on that which has no characteristics or attributes. The purified nadis, nerves, and the brain in turn help breath retention or kumbhaka. Breath retention is styled perfect or Suddha Kumbhaka when breath is restrained in every way and completely. Suddha Kumbhaka is also the name given to yet another method of pranayama. Here, the abhyasi or aspirant attends only to the Kumbhaka, leaving the periods of Rechaka and Puraka without any special attention. Of other methods, one only needs mention here. It is, strictly speaking, not a method of breath regulation, but the figurative application of it. Those who adopt the pure jnana or vichara marga disdain to attend to such a trifle as mere physical breath and declare that rechaka consists in expulsion from within themselves of that useless or poisonous dehatma buddhi or I am the body idea, puraka, or the filling in or drawing in of pure air into the system consists, according to these, in the seek and obtaining of light when they inquire into their self, and kumbhaka, that is, the holding of pure air within and absorbing the same, consists, in their view, in the sahaja sthiti, that is, the state of realizing the self as a result of the inquiry aforementioned. Still others adopt the method of Mantra japa, that is, the incessant repetition of mantras, sacred sounds, to obtain manolaya. Manolaya is a temporary absorption of the mind in the object of meditation. Manonasa, destruction of mind, can alone give liberation. Editor's note. As they proceed incessantly with repetition of the sacred mantras with full faith and unflinching and unbroken attention, the breath, though unattended to, gets harmonized and in due course is stilled in the rapt attention of the mind. Footnote 2. The due course of japa was explained by Maharishi in his Upadesa Sara as proceeding from 1. The loudly uttered praise to 2. The faint but fervent whisper of his name, thence 3. To the utterance of the name in the heart, which easily passes into deep and perpetual meditation or concentration, analogous to the flow of oil poured from one vessel into another, or the unceasing flow of water in a perennial river. The individuality of the mind is sunk in the form of the mantra. All these become one, and that is realization. The stage when prana, breath, is identified with or last in the mantra is called dhyana, meditation, and realization rests on the basis of dhyana that has become a firm habit. Lastly, we may notice another method of getting manolaya, that is, association with great ones, the yogaruddhas, those who are themselves perfect adepts in samadhi, self-realization, which has become easy, natural, and perpetual with them, those moving with them closely and in sympathetic contact, gradually absorb the samadhi habit from them. Continued in the May-June issue.